This episode of Toddcast is sponsored by our patrons, Steph and Aaron Percival. Thank you. I'm Todd Lyons, and this is Toddcast Season 4, Episode 10, a show for and about public servants. Findings from the National Institute of Disability Management and Research say that on any given day, about 1 in 10 members of Canada's workforce is absent due to illness or injury. Part of this trend is attributable to our aging society, where individuals are at a point in their lives where they're more susceptible to long-term illnesses. But you know that health and illness is much broader than just physical disease. Any of us are susceptible when we factor in conditions of stress, anxiety, depression, and personal and family crises which make it difficult to balance responsibilities of work and home life. On this edition of Toddcast, a conversation with Elizabeth Ellis. Please join me. So you're a manager of disability management programs. What does that mean?
It means that I am managing an internal program within the Federal Public Service where we provide case management services actually for employees that are off due to illness or disability.
And how did your career lead you to this role that I understand that you're very passionate about?
I've always worked in a client service field, predominantly in human resources. Before my public service career, I worked in many opportunities with disabled persons. And within the public service, I had an opportunity to work on a special project that started as a special project, looking at the Disability Management Initiative when the Federal Public Service was looking at that in 2009 to 2012. And that's how I got into this career. So when I found out about it and took it on, it was a time when federal departments were looking at implementing programs. And I was passionate about the information that I was reading, passionate about the topic, and I decided it was something that I wanted to be involved in. And I was fortunate to have a DG that was very supportive. And he let me lead the development and the implementation of that program within the department.
You set up and managed disability management programs in a large department and set one up in a central agency. What are some of the day-to-day challenges or situations that you've dealt with that stick out in your mind?
I think some of the challenges is the disconnect that can happen when employees are out of the workplace due to illness and disability. There's a fine line between do we keep in touch with that employee without making them feel like we're intruding, and how do we keep in touch and make sure that they know that we're supportive and that we're caring for them. So I think that's a challenge, is the communication piece. Some of the challenges is how case management is done. I think there has to be a very supportive role for the employee as well as the manager. In disability case management, I like to think of us as neutral advisors. We're there to provide information and advice and guidance, but predominantly the information on processes, how it works, what's available, what kind of supports. And that's a really key piece for an employee who is undergoing, an illness or a disability. Some people just don't have the capacity or the strength to deal with those types of things when they're trying to manage an illness, and having somebody who can support them and their manager through that process is very important and helpful to not only the employee themselves, but to the organization as a whole. I think some of the other challenges that we face is with making sure we connect with all the stakeholders that are involved. So working with the employee through with their treating physicians, making sure if we need to, engaging the bargaining agents, working closely with our labor relations partners, occupational health and safety. So anyone that needs to be involved in at different points of the process, that we take a collaborative and integrated approach to providing that support to the employee. So as an example, if an employee is out for a disability and maybe experienced some challenges in the workplace, I often will refer not only to the employee assistance program, first and foremost, that's probably the one place I refer everyone to off the bat, but also to our things like informal conflict management services, because sometimes they're able to give the employee some coaching and some facilitated discussions that can help them to look at things in a way that they can manage it and see how they can get through this. So if there are workplace issues, it helps them through that aspect.
Now, you bring special insight to this because you've lived your own experience of illness and injury. How did that feel to be on the receiving end of a service that you're used to giving?
That was probably the most frightening experience, actually, that I went through. I do this every day, day in, day out. I mean, there are sometimes you don't sleep at night because you're connected to the cases that you're working on, and you form this bond, this trust with the managers and the employees that you're helping through these situations. So when I went through a situation myself where I had an occupational injury and I had to go through the whole process of applying for workers' compensation and disability insurance, et cetera, that was a scary process. It was a scary process in that, you know, it was me realizing that, wait a minute, I'm going to be running out of my sick leave credits. I'm the one that's going to have a drastic decrease in my financial income that's going to be coming in. I may end up on unemployment insurance. And it was really, I really lived that experience that I was hearing from my clients that I was serving every day. I was now on the receiving end of it. I had to manage it. And it was frightening. It was, you know, I would be sitting at my dining room table some days just in tears of, how do I get through this? How do I, you know, I knew all the forms to fill in. I knew the right people to call, but to actually get through it when you're not well, that was a challenge. And to have obstacles along the way when things either, you know, weren't filled in, whether it be wrong forms or in different timing or whatever, when you're waiting for things like the Labor Canada to answer different questions or whatever, there's a whole different things that happen on these types of cases. So it's frightening for somebody to actually be sitting there on waiting on for answers to come in on their file. And I've experienced some of that during the times that I was off. Thankfully, they were resolved. But in that moment, for those few days, a week, whatever it was very challenging, very frightening for me to go through that. But like I said, I was fortunate that I knew the forms to fill in. I knew the people that I could contact. But you're still on the waiting end of things, because once you've done everything you could do, then it's up to the other people to do their part. And I think that is what I hear from employees. That's a challenge for them because it's out of their control. They can't control it. So not only can they not control the illness that they're going through sometimes, but they can't control all the aspects of the process of either applying for workers' compensation, applying for disability insurance. How does that work? What do I need to fill in? What do I need to get from my doctor, et cetera? And that's what I hear the most is a frightening experience, challenging for the employees to go through. And often they go through it alone because they don't know who to turn to for help. So the reason I'm passionate about what I do and why I wanted to create that program and why I was happy to create it in the central agency is because it allowed me to use my skills and experience and my own experiences in helping to train and mentor other people who could become advisors. I think there's two key things that you need in terms of helping people, and that's compassion, empathy. Three, actually, kindness. You can learn how to case manage. You can learn procedures, legislation. You can learn all about that. But you have to have compassion and empathy and kindness, because at the end of the day, it's about people. That's the business we're in human resources. It's about people. We're there to help support our employees to make sure that they come to a healthy, safe environment to work in every day and that we're providing the best that we can. And that also means that we're providing the best that we can as an employer when they go off for illness and disability. We want to make sure that we're giving them that support to get them back to work in a timely manner when it's safe for them to do so. And that we're also accommodating those employees on the return to work piece, when if they need accommodations based on their needs, based on medical needs, that we're looking at that and we're accommodating where we can. And we're thinking outside the box to do that as well.
Now, you've also supported family members through significant illness. How did what you do every day help you through that? I understand that some tough conversations were had.
Yes, I have two family members in particular. One is my mom, who is now totally physically disabled. I basically looked after her for a number of years now. She's now in long-term care, but watching her go through her own decline over the years was challenging. She obviously needed more and more care, obviously wanted to be in her own environment, living on her own for as long as she could. So there was a lot of work on my part to make sure that she had what she needed to remain independent. That took a toll on, you know, on my family life too, because I was running in different directions. And at the time that her illness was really kicking in, I was a newly single mom with two children, young children. And then more recently, I took on a role I didn't think I'd ever take on. I found out in 2016 that my ex-husband was dying and needed to have a heart transplant. And so those were some difficult, tough conversations. But for me, in my mind, there was only one thing to do. We had two children, and this was their dad. And if there was anything I could do to help him make it through, that's what I was going to do. So he was actually with us in my home for a number of weeks till he thankfully had a transplant. And then he was with me for a number of weeks post-transplant, and he... I guess I'm happy to say he's like their poster boy. He's done really well. Not an experience I would ever want to go through. But my experience as a disability management manager helped me to help him go through it. Not only helped in my mom too, because I would liaise with people like CCAC in Ottawa, you know, for community help and community services and in-home care, and how do you set that up, and meeting with nurses and personal support workers and getting a team of people around that could help my mom. And it was a similar situation with my ex-husband. His company didn't even know what they had in terms of short-term, long-term. He didn't know, and nor could he fill in any forms at the time. So I was basically his advocate and his spokesperson to say, okay, what do you have? What kind of forms do we need to fill in? I knew I was actually coaching them in a way, saying, well, have you thought of this, or do you have this? And they would say, no, I don't think so. Well, you might want to look into this, because this is the way it typically works with the insurance companies. And so it really was me also guiding his own employer in terms of what they needed to look into their own company policies. And if they didn't have one, then perhaps they should consider that for the future in their own workplace, which they did now. They have now put one in place. But there was a lot of questions that he didn't know to ask that I was able to help support him with, especially when it came to the return to work, on how to have those conversations with his doctor, his employer, how to help and guide him through the services that his company provided, taking advantage of his own EAP, taking advantage of the counseling services that were available at the Ottawa Heart Institute, in terms of preparing him mentally after going through that experience in going back to work. And a lot of this is what we do in our daily job as disability management case managers too, is that we form that bond and that relationship, not only with the managers. Managers need a whole lot of support as well. They have a lot on their plates in managing within the federal public service, and they need that support and guidance to say, how do I manage a situation when my employee is either ill, injured, off of work due to mental health reasons, whatever it may be? How do I help that manager? And that's my role, to say, okay, here, let me walk you through the process. Let me give you some information that's going to be helpful. Or even let me help you fill in those forms if necessary, so that we can speed this process up and keep it going, keep it moving, because the biggest challenge is the delays, like I said earlier, that can come with the whole process of applying for disability insurance, et cetera, if you need it. So that's where my experience has really played a key role in supporting my own family members. And that's where we have our most supportive role with the managers and the employees. Those employees really lean on us, if I could say it that way, or trust us. We build that trust with them to say, we're here for you. You can call us at any time. You can, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and have a question and write it down and then call me the next day and I'll help you and I'll answer those questions. You got to remember too, when an employee is sick, they don't have sometimes the mental capacity or the stamina or the strength to retain a lot of the information that we're giving them. So I always tell the employee, we're going to deal with it in steps. Step one today, maybe I might need a leave form from you or from your manager. We might need to get you on to leave without pay if you don't need sick leave credits, which means you're not going to have an income coming from the employer, but you can apply for unemployment insurance benefits, sickness benefits. So it's walking through that those steps. And if I told them from A to Z what was the whole process that could happen over, you know, 6 months, a year, they'd be overwhelmed. So it's breaking it down into small steps to say, day one, here's what we're going to talk about. And then in 2 days from now, we can have another conversation and we're going to talk about what the next step is. And maybe that's filling in your disability insurance forms. I'm going to walk you through the forms. I'm going to tell you what you need, which is the form for your doctor, what your doctor needs to fill in. I'm going to, you know, talk to your manager and get the employer statement in so that we keep that process moving, that we're, you know, taking that stress off of the employee so that they can focus on getting healthy and well.
What is important for employees to know if they ever experience illness or disability at work?
What I like to advise managers is that when you have an employee who's coming in the door, a new employee, that when you're doing that onboarding, you let them know, obviously they get a benefits package, a compensation letter, whatever, but it's up to the manager to do that whole onboarding piece. And I think as part of that onboarding conversation, I would hope that managers are having a conversation around, you know, if you ever get sick, here's the type of benefits that are out there for you. Here's how you can contact these people, et cetera. I advise employees who are not sick, thankfully, to know who their service provider is for disability insurance. We have two. Is it Industrial Alliance? Is it Sun Life? And to print off those forms, take them home. Have it sit down, have a conversation with a close family member if you had to and say, look, if anything ever happens to me, here's the forms. I filled in the tombstone data of my name and address, my PRI, let's say, and then they put them away in a folder somewhere. And if something ever happens, like God forbid somebody's incapacitated, can't get to these forms themselves, a trusted family member or power of attorney or executor, whoever it may be, can access those documents and get support. So I think that it's important that they know that we have an employee assistance program available to help them, to help their family members, that we have internal, most departments now have internal, you know, return to work or disability management advisors. I think it's important to know how they can connect with those people. In terms of their own managing their health, I mean, that's an individual decision. We all make choices, and obviously the better we can maintain our health, the better we fare in the long run, and that we try to prevent illness. So I think that all of those are important aspects that employees should consider. And there are conversations that you can have along the way. I know as a manager, when I have a new team member joining me, my first part of my onboarding is that I'll always ask them for their contact information for their close family member, whoever they want me to contact if something should happen and they're ill or injured. I also tell them that if they are out of the workplace sick for 3-4 days, whatever it may be, or it's an extended type of leave, I'll always tell them that I'll keep in touch with you. I will keep in touch with you because that's one, who I am as an individual. Two, it's my role as a manager to make sure that I'm staying connected with you and that I'm providing you the support. If you find it overwhelming or if you do not want contact on a regular basis, you can let me know. You can say, you know what, I'd rather I call you rather than you call me. And that's fine. I want to respect the individual. I don't want to be in their face. But I want them to know that I care, I value them as an employee, and I'm there to support them for whatever they need should they go through an unfortunate situation of being ill or injured.
How can employees support their coworkers who are experiencing illness or disability?
I think they can support their coworkers. You know, if you have positive, close relationships with your colleagues, it's important that you maintain those. So sometimes just reaching out, if it's appropriate to do so, reaching out, if I don't know if you have their personal email or cell phone, text them, whatever, just to say, hi, how are you doing? Do you need anything? sometimes as a group within a team, some people will circulate a card or send some flowers and say, you know, we're thinking of you, get well. If you need anything, let us know. It's maintaining that positive connection to the workplace. When somebody's on an extended leave, I've seen situations where they will offer the person who's not well, do you feel up to it to coming in? We're having a luncheon today, or we're having a, I don't know, a Christmas breakfast or whatever it may be, and making sure that they're not forgotten, that that connection is maintained. We know that the longer that somebody stays away from the workplace, the less likely chances of them returning to work. So I think the studies out there speak to there's probably a 0% chance after if they're gone for 52 weeks or, you know, after 6 months, I think it drops by 50%. So that connection to the workplace is very important, and maintaining that through the colleagues and through their manager as well. I think being supportive upon the return to work is equally as important. So letting the individual know that, you know, if you need anything, I'm here, or if I can help in any way, you know, not to treat them differently, but to just make sure you're including them. Don't, you know, I see that with mental health, sometimes that happens. People are afraid to approach other people who have been off for mental health reasons. And I think no matter what kind of disability or illness we've had, when we come back to work, we just want to be treated the same. We just want to be included and valued and feel like we're there and have meaningful participation in the work that we're doing.
What would you like to see change with respect to this field of work moving forward?
I think we have started to see a lot of change in this field. Like I said, there's many departments now that are putting in place return to work coordinators or disability management programs. A lot of the programs are being integrated with other areas like occupational health, wellness, mental health. Bringing those together is a duty to accommodate. So that's a good thing. And like I said, I've seen changes happening in our own department for one, it's happened. So I think that offers a very supportive environment for managers and employees. One area where I think we can do better, and again, we're headed in the right direction, is with this new Accessibility Act, the way that we accommodate people. And it's really about equality and inclusion, including people in the workplace, making sure that we're doing what we can to be supportive and helpful. And again, somebody that maybe can't come back to doing exactly the same job they were doing, what else can they do? What are they capable of based on their limitations and restrictions or functional limitations? And how can we support that? What else can they do to be productive and included and part of the workplace and remain in the workplace? Often it's we identify ourselves by the work that we do, and we all go to work wanting to do a good job. And I think that's the same for those people that are unfortunately off for illness or disability. They just also want to be included and be back in the workplace as soon as they can and accepted back in the workplace and supported. And I think we have all the tools available to do that. It's a matter of how we make use of those tools and how we can think outside the box and how we can provide a better working environment for everybody, because it's a win-win situation for the employer and the employee and for society, because there's a huge impact for individuals that are off that impacts, you know, like I said, a financial impact for sure can impact a whole family. So it's really being supportive from the outset, which involves the whole prevention piece, supporting them through their recovery and bringing them back to the workplace as soon as they're able to do so. One of the questions you asked me earlier was, what are some of the things that we can change or do better at? And I think one of the things is we need to consider, how do we provide support for all the employees across Canada? It's much easier when you're in like a national capital region and you have access to a lot of different supports. But how do we provide support, for example, for employees that are in remote locations? Up north is one of the examples. And I think it's much harder for them to have access to the services that they need in those regions. And one of the challenges is, how do we do better at that? How do we provide those services? One of the other things I think that I've raised now for over 2 years is, when employees are being accommodated, I had made a suggestion a while back, is that they need to have some kind of, I call it a passport, but like a tracking system. How do we keep that information on file for the employee respecting their privacy and confidentiality, that if when there's a need for an accommodation and we accommodate somebody, especially persons with disabilities, whether that be invisible or visible or invisible, how do we accommodate that person? And then once we've accommodated them, how do we keep track of that so that if that person moves and makes a career change to another department, let's say, or has a different manager that comes in, how do we keep consistent that we don't force that employee to relitigate what they need in terms of accommodation over and over? So again, I think there's some great work that's being done in that area, and it's started, but we need to see more. We need to see that consistency happen throughout government, where employees are treated the same way when they go from one department to the next, that if I'm accommodated with a special chair or whatever it may be, that I don't have to go to the next department and say, gee, can you start all over? That chair goes with me. And I think that's common now in most places, but we need to have this accommodation type passport thing that moves with the employee wherever they go so that they're well supported and not having to repeat their story and fight for their needs all the time.
Liz, thanks for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Todd.
You've been listening to Toddcast Season 4, Episode 10. All opinions expressed on Toddcast are strictly those of the individual and are not necessarily those of their employer. Special thanks to our patrons, Steve Buell, Stefan Aaron Percival, Darlene Mulcahy, Abe Greenspoon, Terry Kelly, Yvette Fung, Elizabeth Ellis, Sharon Pinney, Catherine Parker, Tanya Garcia, Justin Henry, Rachel Mustin, John Price, Taryn Wasson, Greg White, Joy Muscovich, Jackie Tweedy, M.F. Burford, Barbara Dundas, Rod Gallant, Daphne Guerrero, Jennifer Harju, Anthony Jazz, Saren McDashin, Tarek Paracha, and George Wenzel. However you found us, please help us bring meaningful content to the public service. Become a subscriber, share the episodes, rate our content, and write, and let us know what's on your mind. You can reach me at todd@toddlines.ca or start a conversation with fellow listeners worldwide on gccollab.ca. Toddcast is planned, written, and technically produced using free and open source software, Canboard, DocuWiki, and Audacity, all running on Linux Mint, software that is free as in cost, but more importantly, free as in freedom. This episode's theme music was Let's Start at the Beginning by Lee Rosevear. Toddcast content is free to use and share under the Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike license, because, like open source, open content, and open licensing makes the world a better place. I'm Todd Lyons. I'll see you online.